We have a lot to talk about. As I began to pray about it and ask the Lord to lead me on this next series, I said, what, Lord, what is it that we as a church, we as the body of Christ needs to hear today? And this is the series that I believe the Lord laid on my heart for us. It's time that we learn to tame the tongue. In the midst of all the rhetoric, there's not any kind of rhetoric going around, is there? Is nobody getting really hot or heated? There's not any big heavy discussions going on right now, are there? No, none at all. How are we going to represent Christ in the midst of all of this stuff going on? We have to be wise with our tongue. So let's flip over to James 3. That's where we're going to pick up our discussion. In James chapter 3, as you know, James is a wonderful practical book, basically a primer on what it means to be a mature Christian, how to walk in maturity. And surprisingly, of all the good messages in James, in every chapter, James refers to the tongue. In fact, do you realize your tongue is you? You say, well, how is that? Because as Jesus says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more people get to know you, the more you talk, the more we share, the more people get to know who the real you are. It reveals itself through your lips. Now let's talk about tongues for a minute. Anybody know about tongues? There is one good thing, guys. The average woman has a smaller tongue than us, so at least we have one thing on them. Did you know that the animal with the largest tongue in the world, what do you think it is? It sounds good. That's wonderful. But it's actually the blue whale. The blue whale has a tongue that's 2.7 tons, 5,400 pounds. In other words, the size of a small elephant is inside of a blue whale's mouth. Boy. And how about sticking out your tongue? I heard this week, sticking out your tongue is pretty rude and childish, wouldn't you say? Unless, of course, you're in Tibet. That's a normal greeting in Tibet. So we need to go and make friends. How are you doing? And in fact, I also learned this week, the human tongue's imprint is just as unique as your fingerprint. So if they can ever get an imprint of your tongue, they can decide who you are. And of course, the hardest tongue twister, you need to try this really fast, all right? The sixth sick sheep's sixth sheep is sick. The sixth sick sheep's sixth sheep is sick. Hardest tongue twister in the world, apparently. So when you go to the doctor, what does he say when you walk in the door? He says, let me see your tongue. Because it turns out the tongue will give you a beautiful picture of your physical health. But guess what? The tongue will also give you a beautiful picture of your spiritual health as well. Father God, as we come to this holy scripture today, Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts and receive and teach us and show us what exactly you would want us to know today. For James gets very strong with us. And Lord, he's very, very pointed. But Father, I think there's a reason. And in these times of troubled discussions, of deep discussions that are going on nationally, things that are going on in our nation and ideas being bantered around between religions, between politics, between all the issues of our lives. Father, may we remember that our tongues must also be tamed as much as our heart is tamed. For out of the heart, our mouth speaks. Father, I pray the words of my mouth today would not be my words, but your word spoken through me, that each of us here today may receive the exact message you would have us to receive. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture speaks about the wicked tongue. Maybe you didn't realize that the scripture talks about the wicked tongue, the bitter tongue, the crafty tongue, the gossiping tongue, the boasting tongue, the complaining tongue, the contentious tongue, the exaggerating tongue, the lying tongue, the flattering tongue, the proud tongue, the backbiting tongue, the cursing tongue, the piercing tongue, and the silent tongue. So it's not just James. It's actually one of the major themes of the whole Bible. But here in the book of James, in chapter 3, he's going to give us three warnings today. So we're going to be a bit on the harsh side today. But next week, we're going to talk about how can we use our tongues for good. Because, you know, we have to do that side of it too. We cannot be silent. We have to stand up for what's truth, but we have to do it in an appropriate way. But first, let's look at these three warnings. You already saw the reading of James 3, 1 through 12. First, he says, he warns us that your tongue may condemn you. Look at this verse 1 and 2. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, number one, he says, not many of us should be teachers. Is he saying we shouldn't teach? Is he saying we don't need more teachers and more preachers and more leaders? Of course not. We need them. In fact, the world needs to hear the truth, doesn't it? The world needs men and women who are willing to teach and preach and lead their families, their churches, their nations, the society. We need teachers. In fact, Matthew 28, you remember part of the Great Commission. What does it say? It says, go, baptize, and what's that third one? Teaching them everything that I've commanded you. We need to teach. It's part of, in fact, one of the spiritual gifts in Romans 12, as you remember, is the gift of teaching. So he's not saying that you don't teach. But what he's saying is, number two, but don't rush into teaching without considering the danger of the tongue. Bless Dana's heart, for 28 years, she's been having to listen to sermons from this mouth here. And almost every time we try to say, almost every time, not my words, but thy words be done. We understand. You understand how important it is that we understand that when you stand before people in public and you present the word, whether it's in the youth group, whether it's in the small group, whether it's in the children's ministry, whether it's in a Bible study, whenever you stand before people and teach the word of God or teach the principles of God, do you understand that you have a danger of bringing yourself into condemnation? You see, we're going to be judged. We are going to be judged by our words. But not only that, we're going to be judged by the fruit of our words. How did we lead our families? How did we lead these groups? How did our influence move people? The word he uses there is the word krino for judge. And it's a future word, future tense word. It's talking about in that point where we stand before God. We know that 2 Corinthians tells us all of us will stand before God and give an account of our lives. But do you understand those who teach, those who preach, those who lead, I believe will have a double standard. Even as heads of the household, I think the men, the leaders of their household, will also have a double standard. We'll represent how we led our family and how we led our church. He says here, we stumble in many ways. The truth is, we are all sinners. When we come to preaching and teaching, you know what? We actually know that error is a fact. Now, y'all can tell me that big time after 10 years of being around me. But especially you there, Barry. But the truth is, we know that we teach error. I wish, I pray, I long with God. I wrestle with God as you do to say, Lord, let me be a servant, a man approved of God. You remember 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God, a man approved of God, who does not need to be ashamed, but who rightly divides the word of truth. I so want to do that. And anybody who is a leader, a preacher, a teacher, you need to have this passion in your heart to be a man worthy, approved of God, who rightly divides that. But we all stumble. We all need to admit that we don't always do right. So I hope that you'll understand that whenever you get a chance to teach, preach, or lead, you do it out of humility as a sinner. We come in a humility, realizing that we are frail. That's why we want God to take over. That's why we want God's Spirit to move us. And then I got one more thing I want to say here while we're on this topic of teachers and leaders. And that's the influencer's power. The influencer's power. I want you to understand that in every relationship, whether it's a spouse, a parent, a boss, a teacher, a church leader, all of this, the moment you have their position, your position comes with power because you were in that position. And with that power comes the influence of your words, of my words. You understand? When we're leading people, whether it be in our family, talk about our spouse, how does our words affect our spouse more than other people's words? How do our words affect our children more than other people's words? Because we are the primary leaders. And because of that, our word has the power to condemn them or to redeem them. We have to understand that our words carry the power of condemnation. And he says here, be careful, teachers. Be careful, preachers. Be careful, leaders. It's not that I don't want you to go into that if you're called of God, if you're sent by God, if you're gifted by God. But we must never enter without the warning of knowing the power of our tongue to condemn us and others. In fact, you know 1 Peter 3:15, one of the great verses we talk about all the time. Be prepared at all times. What? To give a reason for the hope that you have. Is that where it stops? No. What does it say? But to do it with gentleness and respect. Because how we present our words can bring condemnation or healing to the situation. And of course, Matthew 18:6, Jesus talks about if anyone leads a little one astray, what happens to them? He said it would be better if they tiled a millstone around your neck and threw you in the river. Because Jesus says, I don't want you to lead my little ones astray. It's a heavy, heavy burden. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is flowing like a flowing brook. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. It's such a good word. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall lead to destruction. We have to be careful. The warning James gives us is that this word, this role can actually lead to our condemnation or condemning other people. Number two, he says, here's the second warning. The tongue may control you rather than you controlling the tongue. Look at this. I love this verse here, part B of verse 2. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect. Really? Well, I thought about that. You know, the word perfect, teleos, doesn't mean perfect acting. It means whole, complete, and mature. Because I don't know even if we could control our tongues if we still would be perfect in everything we do. But what he's saying here, look, his friends, if you and I can actually control our mouths, our tongues, we could just about control anything about our whole life. I got to thinking about it. I said, you know what? The tongue is the gateway of so many sins, isn't it? In fact, in other places in James, he talks about sin itself. And he says, you know, when you are tempted, is temptation sin? No. Even Jesus was tempted. Remember that? But it's when temptation, as James says, is temptation is like the lure on a fishing. All right, now I'm talking about fishing, guys. All right? And that lure, and the fish sees the lure. Now the fish turns its direction and centers on that. Now he hasn't sinned yet. He has turned his direction. When the fish sins, James says, when sin has its way is when the fish moves toward it and bites it. Okay? So I thought about this. This is where sin comes real. We can think ideas. We can think thoughts about people. But when does it become a sin? When we put that thought into action. by speaking it into place. You see, our tongue here is the gateway to so many of the sins. If you can control your tongue, then you're on your way to perfection. Recognize the danger of controlling your tongue proves your maturity. He says you could bridle your whole body if you could only control your mouth. Then he gives us two great examples here. Look at this. When we put bits into the mouths of horses. Anybody ever done any horses? Any riding of horses? Man, back in my early days, I got to ride horses a lot at youth camps. And man, we had one by the name of Charlie Brown, a big old horse. I mean, huge horse. And I was always amazed that you could control Charlie Brown with that little piece of metal in his mouth. Because, I mean, that guy was, he doesn't know how strong he is, right? But he says, look, you can put in the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal just with a small bit in its mouth. Powerful animal of a horse. But that little piece of metal can control the whole thing. Or, number four, verse four, or take ships as an example. How many of you like ships? I love ships too. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are really steered by a very small rudder. But that rudder takes them wherever the pilot wants to go. When we were in Hawaii last year, we got to see an aircraft carrier come into Pearl Harbor. I mean, one of the best things that happened to me was watching this little bitty ship on the horizon. I'm thinking, well, there's a little ship coming in. And then as it got closer and closer, I thought, man, this wasn't a ship. It's a city on the water. And yet that huge ship is guided by a very small square footage of rudder. In other words, this small thing called our tongue, the only muscle, by the way, in our body that's not connected on both ends. Our tongue flaps in the wind. This tongue has the power to move the whole body. He goes on to say, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It makes great boasts. We call that the small boaster. Though the tongue is small, it boasts of great power to do harm or good. Rabbis call the tongue a great arrow for two reasons. Number one, what happens once you release that arrow? Can you take it back? Once the arrow is shot, once the word is said, you cannot take it back. But the second reason is the arrow is the silent killer. A lot of times the enemy doesn't even know it's coming until it's already there. And it can do great damage at a far distance. And that's same true with us. Proverbs 10, 19 through 21 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips, he's a wise man. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The tongue may control you, or can you control your tongue? This should be our goal. Do you want to be mature? Do you want to be perfect? Do you want to grow up in the faith and be a man or woman of God? But let me tell you what the key to it is. Controlling our tongue. Lord, help us all. And then number three, the third warning that James gives us is the tongue has the potential to start a consuming fire. Look what he says here. This is hard words from James, but I think it's so true. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Great forest. You've seen this great forest, and yet there's a small fire. Were you guys concerned about this the other night? About your fire catching all those beautiful trees on fire? You know, the ancient tree, how powerful is an ancient tree, but it cannot stand against one simple match. It is no match for the match. No matter how powerful that tree is, it'll burn and destroy. The same is true about our small words. It doesn't take a big word, doesn't take a powerful language to destroy a person. The smallest word can destroy even a great person. But if you notice that fire is also good, isn't fire a positive thing? We need fire. I mean, our whole civilization is built around fire. But when it's out of control, when it's misused, even innocently, it can do great damage, can't it? How many false accusations have brought down great men and women? How many churches, oh my gosh, how many churches have been divided over words, hateful words between people? I went out with a friend yesterday who's going through that very thing. It just breaks my heart. People hating each other in the Christian church, and the church is being divided and destroyed because of their words. So what does he say? He says, verse 6, the tongue is also a fire. The tongue is also a fire. Just like the fire, the tongue has potential for good, but also potential to do damage. Just like a fire, the tongue begins to move and it does its own damage. But did you notice in the video, fire never stays within itself. Do you notice that once it starts, it begins to grow? It begins to move others. Have you ever known a negative person or a negative spirit that begins to work on other people? And they begin to think, well, you know, you're right. You're right. And then they begin to complain. And then, yeah, you're right. And then they become negative. And this negative spirit, this the power of a negative tongue, of a gossiping tongue, of a complaining tongue can destroy. And it just sets others on fire. Again, even the most innocent words, even the most innocent intentions, if you don't tame your tongue, it can set a whole body, a whole family on fire. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have families riddled with hatred because of words. You say, oh God, help us. This tongue of mine is a fire. And if we don't recognize this, and I know we're sounding very negative today because I want you to take this seriously. I myself want to begin to take this seriously. How I speak represents not only me, but the Jesus Christ that I represent on this earth. Is there an amen somewhere? You know what I mean? Who we are, how our heart works, reflects not on just us, but on Wellspring, on Jesus Christ. And sure, you say, but you don't know how mad I was. You don't understand how passionate I was. I would say, I understand, but your words still represent you. Look what he says. The tongue is a fire. And then look at this. This sounds really strong, but it's so true if you think about it. He said, your tongue is a world of evil. A world of evil among the parts of the body. The word adikia means a moral wrong. Your tongue is a moral wrong. It's something that needs to be brought in under rein. You see, it defies the whole body, he says here. That word defy is the word spilo. It means a stain. You understand, you can be right in so many areas of your life. We can have everything together in your spiritual life and in your personal life and in your marriage. But if your mouth is not together, the whole thing is spoiled. You understand? When people see your witness, you can say, but look, I do this, and look, I do this, and I'm so faithful over here. But they say, but your mouth stains the whole thing. Our witness, our faith, our lips stain the whole thing we're trying to do. He says it sets on fire the course of your whole life. I can't tell you how true this is in the counseling office that we pastors are in all the time. Because I would love to tell you that one word ends it right there, that people say, oh, it's okay. I wish I could tell you how often one word leads to another word, leads to a harsher word, leads to a harsher word. You see, then the original argument way over here is totally forgotten, isn't it? Because now they're injured about all the words that have been said since that. And this thing sets it truly, sets ablaze your whole life. Because you would not tame the tongue in that one circumstance. And this is harsh, but it's true. We have to, it says here, and it is set on fire. Where does all this start? James, are you serious? Look at this. He says, and it's itself set on fire by what? Hell. Gehenna, the word Gehenna there, the source of the problem with the tongue begins with Satan himself. You see, we have to recognize the danger of that one part of our life being out of order. We have to recognize the fact that we have to stop it and we have to turn away from it. We have to deal with our tongue problem. Don't let it continue to fester or it just gets worse. We have to realize that if we allow him, Satan will use our tongue to destroy our family, our ministry, our witness, our church, and our country. He would love to do that. I love what Jesus said about Satan. It's a great word. He says, you know, every time I hear you speak lies. Because that's your normal language. That's his normal language. And Psalm 52 says this, Psalm 52, 2 through 4. You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good. Falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, oh, you deceitful tongue. David is admitting what we all have to admit. We have a mighty, dangerous weapon in our mouth. Doesn't get any easier. Look here, 7-8, right quick. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But look what he says, verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. Look, it's a restless evil. You know what he means? It keeps on. I wish I could tell you, okay, if you deal with your tongue today, it'll be tamed from now on. Is that true? You have to do it every minute. You have to rein it in every week. Every day, every week, over and over, it needs constant attention. It is a restless evil. And then he says, full of deadly poison. Wow, James, come on. It has the potential to do great damage. Uses the word here for poison for a snake's poison, a venom. Full of deadly venom. And, of course, who is represented in Scripture as the snake? Satan. I love that. So you're speaking Satan's language when you allow your tongue to bring death into the world. Proverbs 18:21, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, that's enough downer for today. But I got a challenge for you. I want you to try three things with me, okay? I'm going to do this. This week, and I want to challenge you to do it with me. First thing in the morning, starting tomorrow morning, I want you to pray, Holy Spirit, control my tongue. Holy Spirit, control my tongue. He said here, no man can control it. So what do? You just say, oh, well, can't do it. It's uncontrollable. I can't change it. That's just the way I'm made. Is that what you're doing? What do you say? I know I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can. He can do it in me. But we have to turn our hearts to Him starting first thing before we even look at our wives in the morning, because there's the first problem. Wonderful problem. Because she's the first conversation that will come in the morning. All right? There's your first challenge of the morning. How will you relate to this dear wife God has given you? I'm trying to back up, y'all, so you can see that. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm her first problem too of the day. But you know what I mean? It's that first relationship in the morning. That's already the first challenge we face, is how do you relate to that spouse sitting next to you? And we pray, Lord, in the beginning of the morning, Holy Spirit, control my tongue. And then number two, I want you to count your conversations. That's right. I want you to put a number on your conversations. Like today I had 14 conversations with people. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, here's what happens. Remember, how many of y'all have ever been on a diet? Yeah, I wouldn't admit it either. Okay? But in a diet, they want you to count calories, right? And when you count calories, you realize everything that goes into your mouth, and you calculate, okay, this is how much I ate. Otherwise, if you don't count calories, you're just stuffing your mouth, and you don't care, you're not worried about it. But when you begin to consider what you're eating, you will slow down and stop eating so much. Or the second trick I heard in my 13,000 diets I've had in my life is chew every bite 25 times. Count your bites. Y'all ever heard that before? All right, the principle is this. If you chew 25 times, you will extend the amount of time that you eat, and you will most likely eat less and do better. So you have to sit there and count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Same principle here, though. What if you and I were to count our conversations? When I wake up and look at her, there's number one. Suddenly, I'm now realizing that I have an opportunity to use my tongue, to tame my tongue in this conversation. Suddenly, every conversation when you're at the gas station, you're going in to pay your money. Yeah, number two. How am I going to use my tongue in this situation? And see, what I'm going to try to do is ask three questions. I'm going to calculate three things. Did I condemn myself with what I said? How did I represent myself? Is this something, what I said to my wife in her first conversation, what I said to that man at the gas station, if I stand before God at the end of time, will I say, that was a good conversation. I did good. Check. Number two, did I control my tongue? Did I say what words I wanted to say? Did I say the right thing? Did I actively make the effort to control what I had to say to each conversation? Sometimes it'll be yes, sometimes it'll be no, but we won't know. We won't be able to bring it in until we truly consider it. And then I love this one. What kind of fire did I just start? How are my words going to help or hurt that person I just shared with? Did I start a fire of hatred? Have I started a division? Have I started a fire of some kind of negativity? Or have I set this person on fire with love? Have I got them to see the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life come into their life? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to start with prayer. I want you to count your conversations throughout the day. How many are you going to have? 15, 20, 5, whatever. And then I want you to ask those questions. Did I condemn myself in this conversation? Did I control my tongue? What kind of fire did I just start? How is this conversation going to help or hurt that person? I guarantee you, if we will be that intentional about our tongue, we will be able to make a difference. We'll begin to at least measure. We need to come up with some kind of baseline about how much tongue problem we really have. And that'll be the beginning of real healing. July 16th, 1945, at 5:29 a.m., something amazing happened. The first atomic bomb was set off in New Mexico. They call that the beginning. Hit those lights back there, right above your head there. They call that the beginning of the atomic age began. 21 days later, in a place called Hiroshima, Japan, the atomic age was set loose on the people of Japan. December 20th, 1951, a little town called Arco, Idaho, something else amazing happened. the first time in history, light bulbs were lit by nuclear power generation. And now today, 1/5 of all our electricity that we enjoy comes from nuclear power. You see, it's the same uranium that caused that massive destruction in Hiroshima. It's the same uranium that we use today to enjoy the technologies and the electricity we use every day. What's the difference? How it's used. You see, that uranium has the power to do good, has the power to do massive destruction. Same electrons, same, but it's just how it's used. I would say to you, from the words of James, a warning about your tongue. Now, next week we're going to come in, it's going to be much more positive, but I want to scare us all. I want to bring us to our realization that our tongue is us. Who we are comes out of our mouth. And I don't mean on Sunday, everybody's sweet on Sunday. I'm talking about on Monday through Saturday. And I don't mean just at home or here at church. I mean at work. I mean out in the world. I mean behind the wheel of a, oh, Lord, help us all. That's right. Those times. Matter of fact, you know, those times when we are not thinking about it is when the true self comes out. And if nothing else, you should be asking yourself, who am I really? If you will count your conversations with me, if you'll realize that we have a restless evil in our mouth, power to do massive destruction, or the power to do much good, it's just how we use it. Lord, help us. Father God, we come to you today, realizing, Lord, that your word penetrates into the very depths of our soul. This conversation that we're going to have over the next few weeks about the taming our tongue, how to bring it into submission, how to use it to glorify God, how to use it to bring our witness to fruition. Lord, but until we have our hypocrisy dealt with, until we realize that we need your help, that only the Holy Spirit can help us tame the tongue in our hearts and change our hearts, Lord, there's nothing that we can do. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come amongst us right now. And tomorrow morning as we begin our days together, I pray that our prayer would be, Holy Spirit, help me control my tongue. Have control. And Lord, as we go through each day, realizing that every conversation is an opportunity. We want to make the most of every opportunity. We want to share the gospel in every opportunity. We want to share the love of Christ in every opportunity. We want to share the truth of the Word of God in every opportunity. So, Lord, help us. We hear your warnings, Father. We don't want our words to condemn us, so we don't want to condemn others with them. We want to control this tongue. Start a consuming fire of hatred. We'd rather start a consuming fire of love in the people we encounter today, throughout this week. And Lord, I just pray for anyone here today who you've brought into our midst, who has never said yes to Jesus. You know, they're never going to be able to get a hold of their tongues. They're never going to be able to build relationships and love people in a way. They're never going to be able to grow up spiritually until Jesus has at the lordship of their lives. Lord, I pray today that you would lay upon hearts, that you would convict hearts today of those who need to come forward and say, you know, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Or maybe you know of people today who are struggling with their tongue, struggling with their language, struggling with communication with others. Lord, bring them to this altar. Let's clarify it. Let's strengthen it. Let's pray in the name of Christ that you would help them. For Lord, there is no hope without Christ, without the Holy Spirit. So Father, just meet us now. As this altar is open, just come and meet us right here. And especially for that person who thinks they don't need Jesus today. person say, I got life okay. I can do everything on my own. Friend, there's no hope. There's no peace without peace with God. And I pray that you would just come to this altar and let us pray with you. That you would say yes to Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. You begin a process of saying yes to Jesus, letting him having control of your whole life, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And Lord, you do an amazing work this morning by your power. So come down as we close. Just come down. This altar is open for you to come and pray. Just come meet the Lord right now.
So let faith arise.